You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Can you ever come to know God? Doesn't the Bible say no one has ever seen God at any time? Yes, the Bible does say that. Jesus himself said it. No one has ever seen God at any time. But the Son of God, who comes from the bosom of his Father, has declared him for all to hear and shown him for all to see. On one occasion, Philip of Bethsaida, an honest and blunt fellow, one of the first six disciples Jesus called, often taking a hand in introducing people to Jesus, said to the Lord, "When are you going to let us know God? Show us the Father." Jesus replied without testiness, but with considerable feeling, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." The apostolic message called the attention of the whole world to Jesus Christ. He is not out there somewhere on the fringes of the faith. Jesus Christ is the heart of God, bleeding for the world, and also the face of God, flashing a heartwarming smile upon a world that knows very well it deserves nothing but a frown, or worse. Carrying around their load of guilt, people have an idea that God has it in for them. They expect to be told that God is going to get them one of these days. People know they deserve what they're going to get. Nobody's going to get by God. Nobody's going to get away with anything. God always has the last word. The strong feeling that this is true becomes the basis for all of natural religion. Human guilt lies at the bottom of all natural religion, which is to be found in various forms throughout the world. Despite all attempts, some sophisticated and others downright crude, to get rid of feelings of guilt, they will not go away and often rise to haunt people in particularly gruesome ways. I've known people who were scared to death of God, all the while proclaiming that God would somehow have to accept them because they were trying to do their best. That may be natural religion at its best, doing its worst. Natural religion makes a mockery of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Ridicule of God brings shame, not to him, but only to those who fool themselves into thinking that they can get away with it. Nobody is going to be saved by religion, either his own or somebody else's. Nobody's going to be saved even by good deeds, whether his or somebody else's. Anybody who thinks he can earn the favor of God does not know God. God is known only as he wants to be known, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said this all the time himself, and his apostles said it all the time on behalf of Jesus. John wrote at the beginning of the second chapter of his first letter, "Children, this I write to you in order that you may not sin. If someone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, himself the mercy seat for all our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." John wrote tenderly, knowing the tender love of God. It's the only way, really, to know God. It may make little difference to you whether you know certain people or not. There will always be others you'll be glad to know. They stimulate you and enrich you. They encourage you and help you to grow. They help you to see life and to live life in a new way. They comfort you when you are discouraged, and they give you hope when you've lost hope. You can depend upon them, because they love you. Jesus Christ loved the whole world enough to die for the whole world. Others can help you in one way or another, But Jesus died to save you from the sin and the feelings of guilt that grip the whole world. He died for you, whoever you are, to bring you to God. If anyone sins, said John, we have someone who speaks for us to God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He paid the price for our sins, yours, mine, and everybody's. And he opens the way to God. In Jesus Christ, whoever you are, you have access to the Father and to his fatherly heart. Can you know God? You most certainly can. In Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the greatness of God's glory, and the splendor of God's presence. Jesus Christ is and always will be one of us, the unique and eternal Son of God. He became altogether human, not only with us, but everlastingly for us. He died for us, and he lives for us, raised from the dead by the glory of his Father as the obedient Son, giving his life for the life of the world. For the sake of his Son, obedient unto death, and that the death of a common criminal, God forgives. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven by anybody. It is wonderful beyond imagination to have everything forgiven by the merciful God at the mercy seat, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. He died for all your sins, and not for yours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Can you know God? You certainly can, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, bringing to your very own door the good news of God, which is forgiveness and life with confidence in Jesus Christ. How can you know that you know God? That's the question a lot of people ask themselves. John answers that question directly. This is the way we know that we have come to know God. If we keep his commandments, whoever says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God comes to full bloom. This is the way we know that we are in God. Whoever says that he abides in God wants to have a way of life like the one Jesus himself lived. Learning to live as Jesus lived does not happen overnight. Learning a new way of life, as John said, takes a good deal of walking along that way. The way is well marked by Jesus himself. It's the way of love, putting yourself in the place of others, just as Jesus put himself in your place. It is forgiving others, as God, for the sake of Jesus, has forgiven you. It is learning to keep the commandments of God, instead of trying to find loopholes or ways you can break those commandments. God gave his commandments in the first place for the happiness of his people. They become a burden only when people turn away from God. Riveted to God by the death and resurrection of his Son, people can begin to understand again how important the commandments of God are for a really satisfying life. God said, "You shall have no other gods before me." Explaining that commandment for the benefit of people who have come to know God through Jesus Christ, Martin Luther put the commandment in its true light. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. "You shall not kill," said God. The apostles of Christ explained to God-loving people that this commandment goes beyond outright murder to banishing the hatred that causes murder in the first place. There is a new way of life for people who have learned to know Jesus Christ. Constantly learning to keep God's commandments in a positive way. In the light of Christ, Martin Luther showed the way in that commandment too. We should fear and love God. that we may not hurt nor harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. Keeping the commandments of God is not only a great contribution to human life, but it is a testimony to the grace and power of God in your very own human life. As Mother Teresa has put it, God is writing a love letter to people, and I am his pencil. With all the false starts and missteps so characteristic of human life, having faith in God and knowing Jesus Christ whom he has sent, you hang on and keep on going the way that Jesus went, following him in love and receiving his forgiveness day by day, learning to keep his word and to have a way of life where guilt is replaced with forgiveness, despair with hope, and constant disappointment with genuine fulfillment. If someone sins, we have someone to speak for us to the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous, said John. He learned for himself how wonderful the new life in Christ really is. John laid out the good way for people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. By this we learn to know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God has come to full bloom. Amen.